Right, those kiddos sang for us this evening. Miss Adeline, she sang that at church camp in the competition. And then Sister Katie Stiver's been wanting to sing Mighty to Save. And so good to have them lead us in that tonight. If you would, open your hymn books to page 515. Since Jesus came into my heart. We had a lot of that at Splash Camp this year. And so excited. Page 515. And stand with me as we sing all three verses of Since Jesus Came Into My Heart.
Since Jesus came into my heart, since Jesus
page 337 with me. Page 337, Pass Me Not, and we're going to sing verses 1, 3, and 4. 1, 3, 4 this evening of page 337. Pass me not, O gentle Savior. That you're here. What a wonderful Wednesday crowd. A lot of you don't see some of these folks on Wednesdays because they're at our noon service, so it's good to be all together. The nursery's still under construction, and with some of the dust back in there, get it painted before Sunday. And so they're in here with us tonight. It's not a normal thing, but parents of little ones like that, the nursing room is open, or at least it should be, the door there. The old nursing room will be the multi-purpose room, and you're welcome to change your children in there or feed in there if necessary as well. So we want to make sure that you know that's available tonight. We're going to have a great evening. Brother Jeremy, our children's pastor, is going to come in just a moment. You see all of these orange shirts. If you weren't aware, it's not a gang. It's a church clique, all right? No, it's our kids and our leaders from Splash Camp. We're very glad to have them here tonight. By way of announcements, so we can get that out of the way, tomorrow at noon, our Young at Hearts ministry, 55 and over crowd, will meet in the fellowship hall, and looking forward to that. So you bring a side or a dessert to share. Let's balance it out, okay? Balance it out. We had a lot of dessert last time. Let's get a couple of sides in there because the preacher, he likes sides too, amen? And I'll be here. But we want to be here at noon for that. And then tomorrow night at 6:30, we'll be meeting right back at Union Elementary there at 418 West Martindale Road in Union. Had a great time last week. We're going to be handing out our packets still. And so we want to make sure that we have some folks there to hand those out. A big thanks to Sister Nancy, and then Sister Crystal took the rest home. They've made bundles of our tracts for our two-a-days. I got my two tracts out today. Now, don't let your preacher outdo you. This is my challenge to you. Did you get your two tracts out today? They have made bundles of 14, so if you take a stack, that's a whole week. Now, listen, here's the only rule about taking stacks of tracts. That rhymes. If you take a stack of tracts, hand it out. Don't waste it, all right? So don't let the kids take a whole stack if they're not going to hand them out. You take a stack of tracts with the opportunities come, or when you're in a basket, leaving them in a basket. I don't mind if they take them. I don't mind if you take them. But let's make sure that they hit the stands or they hit somebody. Stacks of 14, and we're looking forward to that. There's also some flyers or tracts out there for our fifth anniversary. It's front and back. We'll be meeting over at the Calumet Center again, 580 Calumet Lane in Drexel. And so we'll have a good time there. But our fifth anniversary coming up September 17th. Many signups at the front welcome table for that. And as well, those tracks are inside of the welcome table drawers, not on top. So if you need some, look inside the welcome table drawers. And there's, I don't know, hundreds of sacks now Miss Crystal put together. And so did the boys help with that? I don't want to leave them out. No, they didn't do jack. Okay, so did Anthony help with that? Okay, they didn't do Miss Crystal. So the credit. I just want to make sure the credit went to the appropriate person, and I was right. I knew it, but I didn't know. So thank you to Sister Crystal and Miss Nancy made some, and so we're appreciative of that. All right, I'm going to have Pastor Jeremy come ahead and give you guys the Splash Camp report this evening.
All right, well, we had a wonderful week at camp, and just to give you a little bit of insight into it, Pastor Brandon put together a video, and so we're going to have a slideshow here in just a minute, and just see how God's been working in the hearts and lives of these kids.
Okay, well, I had a great time at camp, my last Splash Camp, but excited for new journeys in the youth. I pretty much competed in everything just to serve the Lord in that and through that. I did teaching for the Lord, won first place, got third place in singing for the Lord, and I learned a lot at camp. It's not about the winning or what place you get. It's about who you do it for, which is Jesus Christ. Also surrendered my life, made new friends, taught them about the Lord, loved seeing all my friends get saved, and all the counselors were super duper nice. I loved the breakfast, lunch, and dinner. just saying. And Drew's first camp, that was really fun to teach him about everything, and yeah, had a great time.
My name is Aiden Richardson, and my favorite thing was the swing where we went 45 feet high, and Mr. Steve Harney was great, and it was his last time though at camp, but he was really funny, and he did a story about Daniel in the lion's den where Dorito was saying a lot of things about a shotgun, that Daniel needed a shotgun, and he does magic tricks, and I didn't really realize I was saved, and I got saved.
I had a really time fun. I had a really good time at camp, and I'm glad that Aiden got saved and that Jaleese surrendered her life to ministry. I really liked the meals they gave us too, and I feel like the favorite thing that I had there was probably the zip line, because we could go down with our friends, stuff like that.
All right, and I think the raid for the video, just so you can get an idea of what all was involved here.
I just wanna
thank you, 'cause
I just wanna
thank you, cause everything you made is so beat in my heart and it's beautiful.
Here we go, break it down now.
Everything you created with your imagination is wonderful and good. Wonderful and good. You're my inspiration beyond all explanation. You're wonderful and good. You're wonderful and good. Everything you created with your imagination is wonderful.
I just wanna
thank you, cause everything you made is so beautiful. Every single star and every beat of my heart, and it's beautiful. I just wanna thank you, cause everything you made is so beautiful. Every single star and every beat of my heart, and it's beautiful.
Unravel me with a melody.
As you can see, there's a lot that was packed into that 3.5 days. And so it's one of those things where you really built the relationships. The kids built relationships with each other, and I grew closer together. But it's good to be able to get away from the world, all the other distractions, the outside influences, and be surrounded by fellow believers. You know, the most important thing is we had services there every morning, every evening, devotions during that time too. And just to see the growth that these kids took and the steps that they took and just counting on God to get them through it is absolutely amazing. You know, as Jaleese kind of mentioned, she was able to participate in the singing competition and the teaching competition. And as she said, she placed third in the singing and first in the teaching, and just excited to see how God's going to continue to use her. As she, on Wednesday night, she had spoke to me Wednesday afternoon just about God, you know, feeling that call from God as far as towards missions, and just for whatever he has for her, but very excited for her. You know, Aiden, he didn't mention it, but he participated in the preaching competition, and it was one of those things where, you know, he wasn't sure they wanted to do it, and but, you know, he did it, and he got second place in the preaching competition. Up in front of all these strangers and in front of everybody, and to know that God's the one that's seeing you through that, right? And to place their trust in him is amazing. Charlie, he went and found a group of kids to be his partners for the human foosball competition, got first place in human foosball. And but yeah, he's just running around living his best life. But you know, it's amazing what God, you know, has done in these kids' lives already. you know, and not only for them, but, you know, for Mr. AJ and myself and Miss Christy, I mean, we can all say the same thing that, you know, God was working in our life during that time too. And while that may be hard to keep up with 9 kids from our church, and then we had another church that joined in with us, and so it basically doubled our group. But you know what? We wouldn't trade it for anything. You know, we do it all over again because we see the value in investing in the kids, you know. And to see just the excitement on their face as they're seeing that God did see them through and provided for them, and just the excitement. And just looking forward to what he's going to continue to do. The next to last picture that you saw on there with all the kids wearing the orange shirts up there on stage was the kids that got saved during the week. And that's the most important thing. That's the whole reason why we're there, you know. And so there was at least 36 that got saved during the week there at camp, which is just, you know, that first step in how God's working in their life. And I'm very excited to see how God's going to continue to work and bless them and use them for his glory. Amen. That's all I got.
I keep fighting voices in my mind that say I'm not enough. Every single lie that tells me I will never measure up. Just the sum of every high and every low. Remind me once again just who I am, because I need to know.
job. Good job, all the kids. And thank you to all the counselors and everyone who made it possible, those who had given to camp scholarships. Very appreciative, Brother Brandon, making that video. Thank you to our sound guys. Give our sound guys a round of applause. Amen. Their job's not done yet, but they do a good job. If you guys go ahead and bring those slides up for me, I appreciate it. They are working double time tonight. Brother Brad, Brother Carter, Brother AJ, Brother Sean all help us with that on the soundboard, so we're very appreciative. So this is one of our five-year praise and worship service and explanations of things that went on in the last 5 years here at Assurance Baptist Church. So here you see our very first Vacation Bible School, and you say, well, the church started in September, but we're crazy, so we had Vacation Bible School before we ever had a service. And this little building out here right on Martindale Road where we're at visiting it on Thursdays for Grow in Union. And so you see there, you see Miss Sophie McInerney. She actually was a part of the college and career ministry at our sending church, and she was there helping us. And it's crazy to think 5 years later, she's married with child and here at Assurance Baptist Church, and what a blessing that is. And so that was the first day. You can go to the next one. You see some pictures here. Mr. Brandon looks like he's doing making melodies in my heart there. a very small Jaleese over there. It's a little small Xavier there. There's a young Savea. We see the kids lined up. We got a great turnout. If I remember correctly, that very first VBS with really little resources and just one room, we had 14 kids get saved that year. So lots of cool stuff going. Lego and Let God was the theme that year. We were a ball on a budget, so we stole everything from our sending church who did it earlier in the year. We waited till they had their VBS and stole it and brought it so we could do ours. And it worked out well. You can keep going there. And then we went to a Dayton Dragons game in September of 2019. So you'll see many familiar faces there. We had a Dragons outing, and then we were going to do it the next year, and COVID hit, and we haven't been back because now we can't get enough tickets to sit together. There's too many of us, so we're going to figure that out. But that's Eliza Hatcher, believe it or not, over there, a little baby there. Keep going there. And then in 2020, we moved into the current building. And you can see some building renovations that were done. So those of you who weren't members of Trotwood Baptist Church or weren't with us when we got here, you can kind of see how God has blessed and what we've done here. See the Hackney boys putting in carpet over in the youth room. That was a closet. We knocked down the wall and made another room. Keep going there. You're going to see Brother Dan. Brother Dan's teaching me and Brandon and Savea how to do things over there. And so if it falls down, it's Dan's fault. You see Miss Megan painting and lots of good stuff going on there. You see the roof. We were able to get a new roof on the building, and so God's blessed us with that. You see some before and after pictures there. And then the parking lot, and then all the men came out, and some of the ladies after service one night. There was a basketball hoop out there. A man from our sending church actually donated that huge rim that gets brought up and down, but our guys put it in. Myself, Ricky Cum, and Brother Dan dug a hole, didn't we? It was like El Chapo, man. We were out there digging. If you don't know El Chapo, don't mind me. But that was good. And then the front parking lot had a crater in it, and God allowed us to do that. We actually got a $25,000 grant from a ministry called Jehovah Jireh Ministries, some friends of ours, who gave us a $25,000 grant, and they did, that took care of that and the parking lot, and then also was able to do some other things, like the next thing you see here, the sound booth. So Brother, a very small sound area at first, and Brother Jeremy came in and built this up, and you see Aiden there helping, and so we've now got the sound booth. And then Carter put all the stuff in there and has done a great job of wiring all that stuff up. So that's that. Now 2021, New Year's Eve party. Didn't have one this year because it was Saturday, and I don't trust y'all to come to church on Sunday if you're out late Saturday. I'll just be honest with you. But it'll be back this year. Amen? And so you see Bud, she's my sweet potato, and Nancy says, I am there. So we had to get that picture in there. AJ and Haley there. That was BD before Dawson. All right, and you see all these folks, me and DJ Katie Brister, up there in the sound booth. You see all the folks up there doing, I don't know if they're doing making melodies or what was going on. I probably was asleep by that point. And then there's the Black family. And then our Christmas carnival 2022. So a lot of you are in these pictures. You see Brother Brad helping out there, and the animals that were here for the first time. I remember it being cold, but nobody cared. They were out there looking at those animals. Our brother Matthew Backscheider there and Brother Todd Stiver serving in that ministry. Our Christmas carnival was always one of those highlights of the winter. There's a lot of people there. I can't even go into all of it, but you see the good things that were going on there. The kids love it. Something simple, but then our summer kids program, the first time we've ever done this, our youth, I want to commend you. This week's the last week of that summer kids program, and all of you adult leaders, Miss Debbie and Miss Dawn, they're leading the kitchen crew, the cooking, but we've got youth that are in those classes and helping and serving, and Brother Brandon put that together, and they've done a great job. It's been a wonderful time. I don't know that I've seen more excitement for a summer program that we've had here at Assurance Baptist Church, so I'm excited about that. This little girl right here, and I think it's her brother, they had to go back. They were here for the summer with their grandma, so they've missed the last couple weeks. But their grandma was just, she sat over there and watched, but she was just thankful for all that you guys have done this summer. See all these folks, all these kids out here every Sunday night, just doing a good job. Brother Jake there, teaching them how to keep that elbow in so they can make threes. You see all the guys out there. Brother Kent McInerney's sick tonight, but he's leading that wiffle ball and t-ball there for the young ones. And just done a great job. Sister Annie Haas, one of our new teenagers, is out there helping. They're all in just doing a great job. I'm very excited and proud of all you guys, Britton and Raven and everybody that's helped. Cameron, Kaylin, you guys have done a great job this summer. If I didn't mention your name, you did a good job too. But I'm very thankful for you. So that's just some highlights of the last 5 years. And we'll do that again September 6th. So September 6th, there's no noon service again, as we want to all be together on those 5 years of praise and worship services. Tonight, a very special night with everything going on with Splash Cam and with those services. Very excited about all that. Pray. Well, hey, listen, we're going to look at our Bibles really quickly tonight. I'm not going to take much of your time. More of a devotion of praise as we, God's preached the message through our kids singing and through the testimonies tonight. I'm very excited about how God is using. Hey, never say this, just so you know, never say going to be the church. They are the church, and they have skills and abilities, and they bring a light to this church. And so when you say they're the future, what you're saying is what they're doing right now is not important, and it is, right? So that's not the future, they're the right now. How would you old people like it if we said you're the past of the church, right? It wouldn't be good, would it? Miss Bev thought it was funny. You guys wouldn't think that was funny, would you? Very gracious children's group we have, but I'm so proud of all of you and what you are doing and how God is using you here. And then Promotion Day Sunday. So I haven't done a good job of explaining this, but Promotion Day, if you are moving up, so if you're going to be in second grade or you're going to be in sixth grade, or if you graduated, you stay one more week in youth because your college and career teacher's not done with this class yet. So wait one more week. But there's nobody coming up from the nursery right now. But you go ahead and go to your new class Sunday morning at 9:15, and I'll be down to give you your certificate. And we got 5 fifth graders that are going to be sixth graders that are moving up to youth. So that's exciting. And then we've got a few that are moving over to the Hatcher Sunday School class from Philip and Cynthia and Dave's class. And Philip and Dave and Cynthia aren't getting any new kids just yet, any four-year-olds. And they said, praise be to God in heaven. I think they were praying specifically that they would just get a little chance to rest. And so we're excited about Promotion Day. And then next week, if you know college and career age folks, 18 to 25, single adults, must be graduated from high school. Myself, I'm going to be the teacher. And then Brother Matthew Backscheider, Sister Randy Sternscher are getting married in October. They're going to be my assistants. And eventually, the plan is for Matthew, as I kind of train him, that they'll take over that class in the future after they're married for a couple years and kind of have that under control. And so once that's done, then I'll move on. But we wanted to get that young couple. They're excited, and they can stay out late and do all the events, and I can be at home asleep. All right? I'll teach all day in Sunday school, but I don't want to have to go hang out with my son and 18-year-old kids all day long. I love you, but I don't have the energy to keep up with you. So we'll let the young people handle that. Praise be to God. Open your Bibles to 1 Chronicles. 1 Chronicles chapter 29. I preached out of this chapter a few months ago, if you remember, preaching about David making the preparations to build the temple. Though Solomon built it, David was used to prepare the materials and gave literally $1 billion to the work of the house of the Lord. And we look in 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 10 tonight. 1 Chronicles chapter 29. Verse 10, way back in the Old Testament after 2 Kings. And we're going to look tonight here at why am I praising and who am I when I'm praising? why am I praising, and who am I when I'm praising? And we're going to see that tonight, David writing. You know, David is the great psalmist of the Bible. He did not write all of the Psalms, but he wrote many of the Psalms. And so David knows much about praise, doesn't he? David had a life that was full of experiences and praise, but he also offered to his son Solomon reasons that Solomon should praise and the entire kingdom as Solomon was about to ascend to the throne of his father David. He was going to take over as David would soon die, but he gave Solomon some admonition and he gave the kingdom of Israel some admonition. And Solomon later in his life, we know in the book of Ecclesiastes, Solomon goes out to find out what is life all about. The wisest man to ever live, and Solomon ultimately comes to the conclusion that everything in life is vain, that you're going to get old and you're going to die. There's a time for war, there's a time for peace. There's a time to speak and a time to be silent. Solomon ultimately finds out in that book that as he's the wealthiest man in the world, he's the wisest man in the world, he has the most wives and the most concubines in the world, he has the most gold and the most silver in the world, he has the most beautiful house in all the world, what he finds out at the end of that is that he is a nobody and that God is everybody, that he's everything. And that it's right why he is praising God is because he has nothing that he had without God. And then he had to remind himself, who was I during this period of time? Who am I while praising God? So we'll see tonight why we are praising God. Why are we having these services? Why are we looking at these things? And then who am I while I'm doing it? Because that's a big deal. 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 10. Wherefore David blessed the Lord before all the congregation. And David said, blessed be thou, Lord God of Israel, our Father forever and ever. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty for all that is in heaven and in the earth. Is thine is the kingdom. O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come of thee, and thou reignest over all. And in thine hand is power and might. In thine hand it is to make great and to give strength to all. Now therefore, our God, we thank thee and praise thy glorious name. Verse 14, you might mark this down. But who am I? And what is my people that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort? For all things come of thee, and of thine own have we given thee. For we are strangers before thee and sojourners, as were all our fathers. Our days on the earth are as a shadow, and there is none abiding. O Lord our God, all this store that we have prepared to build thee and house for thine holy name cometh of thine hand, and is all thine own. I know also, my God, that thou triest the heart and hast pleasure in uprightness. That's important there. As for me, in the uprightness of mine heart, I have willingly offered all these things. And now have I seen with joy thy people, which are present here to offer willingly unto thee. O Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, our fathers, keep this forever. Now watch. And give unto Solomon, my son, a perfect heart, to keep thy commandments, thy testimonies, and thy statutes, and to do all these things, and to build the palace for which I have made provision. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for this evening and all that has been said and done to this point. Lord, we are so grateful that you not only protected our folks at camp, but that you used them, Lord, that they thrived there. Thankful for Pastor Jeremy and Sister Christy, Brother AJ, as they took time out of their busy schedules, Lord, to go and to be with our young children and to see such a group and to see these young people mighty in you, Lord, raise up and face fears and have fun. And Lord, we're just so grateful that you returned them to us safely after a blessed week. We're thankful for the 36 young souls who accepted Christ. One of them registered among us, and Brother Aiden Richardson tonight. Thankful for the decisions that were made. Father, we thank you for Brother Harney as he has been there many years. Even some of our folks who were in their 20s were there as kids when Brother Harney was speaking, and he'll be greatly missed. But Lord, I pray and believe that you have someone in the wings, that you're rising up, that you've already raised up mighty. We don't know who it is yet, but that would come and speak at Splash Camp year by year and see many people come to Christ. Father, we thank you for what you've done in these 5 years at Assurance Baptist Church, how you've brought us together and how you have strengthened us and encouraged us, how you've increased us, Lord, how you've given us wisdom where we needed wisdom, strength where we needed strength, encouragement where we need encouragement, Lord, but more than anything, Lord, where you've provided your grace and your mercy upon us. Father, we ask for the blessing of the reading of your word tonight. We ask these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. I'll be quick tonight, so if you're taking notes, number one, what do I need to do? Why am I praising God? Well, David said, because I'm a nobody in verse 14. He says, who am I and who are thy people? He said, everything that we have has come from you. I am nobody. I couldn't do this. This is David, the greatest of all the kings of Israel. This is David who has $1 billion to lend or to give over to the building of the house of the Lord for his son Solomon. This is David who has killed his 10,000s in the name of the Lord. This is David who has slung down the giant and cut off his head and took his head to his tent and hung it up as a statue that God is his hero. This is David, the shepherd boy who comes in the line and the lineage of Jesus Christ, where Jesus Christ, through the throne of his father David, is established forever. This is David, and he says, who am I? Let me just say this to you very kindly. David is greater than you, and he's greater than me. And if David understands, who am I? And he says, who are your people? He says, who is Israel, the people that you've created? We can't stand in your presence without you. We can do nothing without you. Why do we praise God? We praise God because we're not worthy to be praised. Because we are not able. As a humble people, we praise each other. Listen to me. I never want you to praise your pastor. You can respect and revere your pastor, and you should. And you should praise and God alone. And God alone should you praise. You can respect one another and love each other. Be thankful for what other people are doing. All those things are right. But real praise only belongs to the Lord. He uses those words. It sounds very familiar, almost like the Lord's Prayer, or what people call the Lord's Prayer, the example prayer. He says, for thine is thy power and the glory and the victory and the majesty, for all that is in heaven and the earth and thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. It sounds familiar, doesn't it? And David recites those words. It's a prayer of David. It's a prayer of praise of David. I believe a lot of times in our life, we don't praise God in our prayers. We ask God. We come to him with many requests and much supplication. But David wasn't asking for a thing there. And to the very end, he says, give unto Solomon. But all the rest of that prayer, David was praising God. We've come into a world where it's hard to praise God in Baptist church because people will think you're Bapticostal if you praise them too much, won't they? If you raise your hand or if you, we got to teach Jaleesh, she can sing, but she got to stop dancing up there. She's a Baptist, right? But, you know, it's one of those things where we have a wonderful experience with God, but when you're truly praising, it doesn't matter. We actually talked about that in our little 11 series last year, that David danced before the Lord. He leapt before the Lord with joy. If you're doing it with joy in a right place, there's nothing wrong with it. I don't think that there's Baptists have become those people that are kind of old and crotchety and say, no, you can't do this. Now, we don't think you should be out at the club doing the stanky leg and getting sturdy with it. We're not okay with that. But I think it's perfectly okay for you to raise your hands and to sway and in the name of Jesus do a little bouncing. I think it's perfectly okay because if you remember that he is the one that you're praising and you're giving him your very best, God is glad about that. He's very satisfied in that. But I want you to also understand that when we say, David said to have a perfect heart, look at verse 19. These are the things that David requested of God to give to his son Solomon. If King David, a man after God's own heart, requested these things for his son, then I believe these are five things that we should request of God for us as well. Amen? A perfect heart. He says, give unto him a perfect heart. Who would know a perfect heart better than David, the man after God's own heart? Who would know better than David, a man whose heart failed him not in all the times when his own sons Adonijah and Absalom chased him around, when the first king of Israel Saul chased him around, when Goliath was there to kill him, and David said, I'm not afraid because the Lord will be with me as he was with me when I slew the lion and slew the bear. Who else would know better to have a perfect heart? The word perfect here means more than just mature or grown up. The word perfect means to be what he says, to be upright, to be righteous before God. Now listen, you're righteous before God if you're saved in Jesus Christ. Speaks about you praise the Lord. How do I praise the Lord? Or who am I in praising the Lord? Listen, you ought to be praising the Lord in your private time and in your public time. You ought to be the same person all the time when it comes to praising the Lord. You can't be praising the Lord. My mother always said, would you pray to God with that mouth? You can't be praising the Lord out of your mouth and with your body, but doing other things that would be bringing dishonor to you. Do you have a perfect heart in praising the Lord? Can I be convicting for just a moment? When you come into church on Wednesday, not just Sunday or Sunday night or Sunday school, is your heart cleared out? Have you gotten rid of all pride? Have you gotten rid of all obstacles? Have you gotten rid of all lack of forgiveness? Have you gotten rid of all envy? Have you gotten rid of all jealousy? Have you gotten rid of all bitterness? Have you gotten rid of all anger? Have you gotten rid of all the things that are going on in your world so that you can have a perfect heart while you're praising with God? I fear that many Christians are trying to praise God while they hate their neighbor at the same time, and it's impossible. I fear that many Christians are trying to praise God while they have bitterness with other church members in their own church, and it's impossible. I hear music in my ears. Something's coming through. But praise God. When all these things are going on in your life, you've got to make sure that you keep yourself in a position where you're praising God and God alone. Amen. Now, number two. Am I crazy or do I hear music? Something's playing. Yeah. Something. I don't know where it's at.
I know where it's at.
You know where it's at? Her phone? Okay. I was like, I know I hear something. I'm getting old, but my ears are still pretty good. All right. Number two. Do I keep his commandments in praising the Lord? Do I keep his commandments? The word commandments here means laws or ordinances. Do you keep his orders? Now, there's going to be a difference because the words are similar, commandments and statutes, but do you keep the things that God has told us to keep? The book of Exodus, when he gave the Ten Commandments, are we keeping his laws? Now, when I ask you, are you keeping his laws and praising the Lord, you can't be praising the Lord because God gave these commandments. It's not a suggestion. He said, this is what you're supposed to be doing. You can't be praising God if you're not keeping his commandments. You can't be praising God if you're not doing what God asked you to do. I tell my children all the time, you don't have to worry about what your mother and I say or what we tell you to do if you're doing what God told you to do. Because if you're doing what God told you to do, you'll automatically be doing what your mother and I said that you should be doing. Because we fall under his authority and you fall under our authority. So if you go past the middleman to the one who has all authority, you'll already be in a good place. Because if you're following his law to honor thy father and thy mother, if you're not stealing, if you're not killing, if you're not envying, if you're not being adulterous, then you're already going to be pleasing your parents. So you're praising God. Listen, if we just keep ourselves in a place where we're keeping his commandments, ask yourself, am I keeping his commandments and praising God? Assembling of ourselves together. When you come to church, you're keeping the commandments of God. And if your pastor has Sunday morning and Sunday evening and Sunday school and Wednesday, if that's on our track list, that means in order for you to be truly following the commandments of God, you need to be at all of them if you can. If you're not working or if you're not sick, you need to be at all of them because it's a commandment of God. You say, Pastor, how can you say that you can make commandments for God? Because God has made me the man of God in this place and as the bishop. And so when God says, okay, Pastor Bryson, you have authority to say these things. If I've said it, then this is what it is. Then these are the words. If I say, this is how we're going to do the nursery, that's just the bottom line. If I say, this is how junior church is going to be, that's just the bottom line. Not because I'm a dictator, but because of the commandments of the Lord that have come into me, that come out of my mouth. And it's not for mean purposes. It's the exact same reason why God gave the commandments to keep you safe and to keep you in a place where you can praise the Lord. Do you realize that God gave the commandments so that the children of Israel would know what to do to bless him? Do you realize he gave them the commandments so that they wouldn't fall into sin? He says, if you do this, then you're going to be right with me. And if you're right with me, things are going to be good. But instead, while God gave them the commandments, a 2-week trip turned into a 40-hour tour. 40-year tour, I should say. Do I keep his commandments? Number 3, do I keep his testimonies? A testimony, or do I keep his witness or his stories? David said, I want Solomon to keep thy testimonies, and God wants us to keep the testimonies. What were the testimonies that Solomon would have had? He said to keep the testimony or the stories of Abraham, of Isaac, of Israel or Jacob, to keep the stories of all that I've been through. Solomon would not have ascended to the throne if it wasn't for David continuing to fight and people still staying there with all of his other sons coming after him and rape and murder and adultery and all the things that went on in the line of David and his family. Solomon could have never ascended to the throne had it not been for God, had it not been for the testimonies or the stories of the Old Testament. He says, I want you to remember those things and think on those things. Why do we look back at the things that God has done over 5 years? Because God wants us to remember his testimonies. Those are testimonies. And though they're not written down in the scriptures of the Word of God, they're written down on the tablets of our heart because of God. And because of that, we need to remember those things. Keep those things in our heart and in our mind because we learn from the testimonies and because it's a witness of God's goodness. Amen. The testimony is a witness of God's goodness. When he keeps reciting over and over again, he says, it's a witness that Abraham was blessed and he came out of Haran and that he was going out and that he couldn't have any children. But when he was 99 years old, God struck him and said, oh, you're going to have a baby. And Sarah laughed, but Abraham staggered not at his promise. And God said, because of that, he's justified and you're the friend of God. Listen, all I'm saying to you is, if he remembered that, he said, Isaac, you're going to have a little situation here and your brother's going to be blessed this way, but you're going to be blessed that way and continue on, and you're going to have two nations that are born out of your wife's belly. One is going to be Esau and one is going to be Jacob, and you're going to love one and hate the other, but the blessing is going to come through Jacob or Israel and the 12 tribes of Israel and passing down. You have to remember those things and recite those things because all of those things came forth that God did for a witness of who God is. You realize Lego VBS is a witness of who God is, the 14 young people that were saved. If I remember right, there were some parents and some teenage siblings that came and got saved at that too. And when we look back and we see what went on in 2019 and 2020 and 2021 and 2022 and so far in 2023, when we look back at those things, those are all witness of what God is doing. Some of you who have gotten saved in the last 5 years at this church or through the ministries of this church, you're all a witness of the goodness of God and why we praise God. Many of you in this room, how many of you tonight in this room got baptized at Assurance Baptist Church? Raise your hand. Look all around you tonight. The people that got baptized at Assurance Baptist Church, and there's more to come. Look at that. Look at that. Praise be to God. That's a witness. That's a testimony of what God is doing. You see what I'm saying? It's a testimony of who God is and what he's doing. And all I'm saying to you is God is worthy of that praise. God has done that. He may use his people, but it's God. And we need to remember that God is good. We are going to shatter our baptism record this year. There's no doubt about it. We're close already to breaking it, but it's going to get shattered with all these months to go. And all I'm saying is that's a witness. That's a testimony. He says, I want you to tell Solomon, my son, to keep these things. Keep thy commandments. Keep thy testimonies. But then he says, keep thy statutes. What does he mean here? Because statutes and commandments are very similar, or precepts. But here specifically, he tells us to keep the tasks or the labor. He says, now you know what to do, but knowing what to do and doing what to do are two different things. At work, sometimes they would have something called a policy and procedure. And the policy and procedure book might be 3,076 pages, and HR expects that you know all of the policies and procedures. And they say really audacious statements like this, refer to the policy and procedure. And you say, well, I would need a lawyer to be able to explain to me the policy and procedures. Could you show me what it means in section 2.673-ABTOPQR? You know what I mean? It's ridiculous. But what God's saying, I don't want you to remember all these rules. I want you to remember these simple things. What has God tasked us with? What are his statutes? To love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. You do that, then all the commandments will fall in line. You don't have to memorize the Ten Commandments if you memorize that you're supposed to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy strength, with all thy mind. Come on. Listen, he says, and the second command is like unto the first, that you love your neighbor as yourself. You don't have to remember all of 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, 4 John. If you remember to love your neighbor as yourself, then you remember the statutes of God. See, sometimes we say, oh, well, we need to know this much scripture. We got to have this much. We got to take this discipleship class or this or that. And all those things are great. But the truth of the word of God is that all the commandments, all the prophets and the law hang on those two commandments, to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and to love thy neighbor as thyself. That is what it means to do his statutes, to love that way. It's pretty simple. You know what I know about policies and procedures? HR and your boss will look over the policies and procedures if you're always on time, if you're always dressed and ready and prepared to go, if you're working hard, if you're saying yes and no and please and thank you, if you're being a good employee, they'll look over all those policies and procedures, because the truth of the matter is I've been in HR before and the HR people don't know all the policies and procedures. And so they work, you don't become Houdini when you show up to work and nobody can't find you. If you just go in there and you're pleasant and you do your job, nobody's ever going to bring up the policy and procedure. You're going to sign it at your hire date and date it. They're going to put it in a file and forget all about it. And until you act like a donkey face, nobody's ever going to remember the policies and procedures. But as soon as you go in there and get talking out your side of your neck or start doing something crazy, then they're going to find in the policies and procedures the place where they can find in there to get rid of yourself. And they're going to say, you know what? It's the statute of this company that you're not matching up to. You're fired. Listen, God's not... He didn't send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He's not looking to find things that are wrong with you. He's just looking for you to love him and to love others. Number five, he said, give to Solomon my son, the last part, to do all these things and to build the palace for which I have made provision. Do you know Jesus Christ went and prepared a place for us? He's made provision for the church to be built. Everything that we need for the church to be built is here. Let me just give you a scenario here really quickly. Do I build his house? 3 years ago, the Lord took $2,000 a week in tithes and offerings and have doubled that, really almost double and a half that, and he continues to build his church in different ways. He took about 85 people, and he's doubled that, and he continues to add unto that. And what I'm saying is, but are you a part of the building of the house of the Lord? Now, hear what I'm saying here. Hear very clearly what I'm saying here. There's three parts to building the house of the Lord, and I just want to show you how God's praise, how we give praise and how we can praise God through this. Three parts in building the house of the Lord, and all three of them show up. If you read 1 Chronicles 29, again, I preached through the first half of that a couple of months ago, just a different sermon, but if you read through that, three major things happen there. The first thing that happened there was prayer made. They asked God that they could build a house. David said, I desire to build a house for the Lord. And he said, I couldn't, but my son can. So guess what? I'll pray for him. Now watch. Some of you might be seasoned saints. You might be on the long end of your life here, this season called life here. And you say, I can't get out to grow. I can't walk because I'm hurting. I'm this. But listen, but we value and covet your prayers. Prayer still works. My prayers have been and are continuing to be answered. Yes. Somebody once said to me, there's a man at our sending church named David Horst, who, you know, wait until you find, you know, that David Horst in your life, that person in your life, and then it's like God sending me a Bud Cunningham, who you got to run off with a stick, you know, because he's cleaning and he's underneath the things and he's up on top of the roof, and you're like, Bud, leave, like, go home, like, And you would say, well, his wife works here, but it's not on Monday and Thursday when she's here. It's all the other days that he's up in here. Like, I don't know if he's trying to get away from her or what. I was named 5 years ago, and God answered my prayer. I asked God to send us strong men into our church that could serve as deacons and as trustees. And 5 years ago, I didn't know Chuck Schrode's face or name. 5 years ago, I didn't know Philip Harris's face or name, or A.J. Michael's face or name, or Anthony McGee's face or name. And now God's answered that prayer. 5 years ago, I had no idea who Logan Hatcher was or Sean Knoth were, and God continues to bring people into our life. And we asked God, when my wife and I have prayed, we said, God, please send us some godly women, some women that would come into our church and serve in the nursery and hold the babies and do all the other things. And miraculously, 5 years ago, I had no idea who Rebecca Hackney was. And then Rebecca Hackney comes and she says, you know what, I'm going to get on fire for the Lord, and I'm going to start bringing other people. And then we meet Stacy Bay and her son Gavin at camp with us, and God does all these crazy things, and it's a small world, but God said, you know, 5 years ago, I had no idea who Brad and Sierra Morton were, and then they come, and then her mother, now Miss Misty, is here, and all I'm saying is it's so crazy how God does things. 5 years ago, Brother Dave Fortunato came to our first anniversary with their former pastor, and they came over, and they were there just to celebrate, and 5 years later, I had no idea that Dave and Don would be here as faithful servants at Assurance Baptist Church, and that grow, and working in the nursery, and working in Sunday school, and cleaning the kitchen, and cleaning out the oven. I had no idea, but all I'm saying is God answered my prayers, because prayer still works. In order to build the house of the Lord, there's got to be some prayer. Brother Brandon, I hired Brother Brandon, there was about three people in the youth group. The temples were about to move, and we at first it was like Jake, Grayson, Xavier, Zoe, and Leland. And I don't know, Savea must have been in there, and Emma must have just came up. So there was maybe six of them. We thought, okay, our youth group's pretty pathetic right now. And I said, Brother Brandon, we're going to hire you, and here's your job. Now, he always hears me say this. It's not Brother Brandon's job to grow the youth group. It's his job to grow them spiritually, but not physically. That happens when we get new people in the church that have families. It's creepy to just go out and meet youth and be like, hey, would you like to come to church with me, little girl? Like, that's weird. So that's not how we do it. But we pray, and then all of a sudden people start coming out of nowhere. And we're like, wait a minute, where'd that person come from? Where did this person come from? Because they get on fire, and they start inviting friends, they start inviting cousins, and then all of a sudden the youth group has grown to a place where Sister Nancy and I were going through the books, and we said, there's 24 people in Sunday school and youth. Where are we going to put them at? We're looking through the book, and I'm start scratching my head. That's not counting the Mortons and the Blacks, and we start going, well, we already tore one wall down in there. Where is another wall in there? There's no more walls. They'll be outside. But you know what? Praise be to God. But a prayer was answered. Amen. Amen. Hey, man, listen. You know me. I pray. I've been praying for a long time for even the people that say, well, people say to me like things like this, they must not know who my God is. They say, well, I can't have any more babies because my tubes are tied. God don't need your tubes. He don't need your vast deference. The right age. She had been through menopause. She's 90 years old. And God said, go on and have a baby. Go on. Let me show you what I can do. And God went. And then you know what happened? And then God said, I said, I prayed for some babies. And this one had a baby. This one had a baby. This one had a baby. I have been teasing Brother Jeremy, Sister Christy for 2 or 3 years now. It's time to have another baby. And you see how my prayers work? And God said, all I'm saying is you keep messing with your preacher and you might have a baby. Remember how good my prayers worked. I prayed for Bud and Nancy, and their boy bird started having eggs. Now, this ain't that kind of church, but I'm just saying that's what happened. Did it not happen? All I'm saying is prayer still works. But then he said, there's something else you got to do. He said, but I want you to serve. You got to get up. The people had to get up. The people had to do something. Now listen to me. Service may look different for everyone. Some of y'all, I don't want nowhere near the nursery babies. I'm not cool with it. Some of y'all need to stay as far away from the kids' ministries as you possibly can. You don't have enough patience or grace. We got something else for you. Listen, I'll tell you right now, I'm not the one that wants to work with the teenagers. No offense. I like y'all, but I don't want to be with you all the time. Now listen. But there's a place for you. You say, it might be the sound booth. It might be singing. It might not be singing. It might be over there cooking with D&D. It might not be a weekly thing. It might be an every once in a while thing. But when he says service, the one thing that you all can control as long as you're healthy or not at work is you can show up. He said, all you people, I just want you to show up because my son's about to be king, and I want you to show up for him because he knew that it would support Solomon. Remember in the beginning of that chapter when I preached a couple months ago, he said, Solomon, my son, is very young and tender. You don't know a lot, but I'm about to pray for him. Would you guys come alongside me and come and support him? Because when people show up, I told the young guys tonight, get in there, so them little girls are about to sing, and we want everybody in there to support them. Yeah. It's not a mean thing. Listen, don't be out front cackling when church starts. When the praise and worship team is singing, you have your butt in here, ready to go. Because those people do that for a service to the Lord. They're not doing it for their own health. You be on time. You be ready to go with your mouth ready to be lifted up on high to the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. If I wanted the church services to start at 10:45, that's what I would have put on the track. But the last time I checked, it say 10:30. So if you ain't at Sunday school, at least get here at 10:30. Don't have the temerity to show up late when the rest of us been here since 9:15. You get mad at me all you want. I'm just saying because I'm just saying. But listen, it blesses us. You know how hard it is to preach to three people? I do it every Wednesday afternoon. But you know what happens on Wednesday afternoon? No, there's more than that. But you know what happens on Wednesday afternoon? Them people are in tune, boy. They right here. Everybody's in this. I can high-five everybody. I can talk to everybody. I don't even need my mic. I can stand right here, and everybody's in tune, and they're paying attention, and they're ready to go, and they're taking notes, and they're ready to go. And you know what that does for me? I wouldn't keep on having noon service for 10 people if they weren't paying attention or if they were always late. But they're always here early. They're always ready to go. They're always ready to sing the songs. They got to deal with me as the song leader. They're with no piano sometimes. Now, Miss Bev came and spiced it up when she came to the church, and she started playing piano. But for the first couple years, there was no piano. They were just hearing me sing solos every week, all right? And they're like, oh, Lord. And the fact that people kept showing up, now praise be to God, more people started coming when she started playing service. And then the last thing is he said this, and I'm not going to spend much time on it. He says that you got to give an offering unto him. Now, he was talking money, he was talking things, but I believe an offering here moves past just financial. That's certainly right in the Lord to tithe and offer, but I believe he was doing more. He was saying things like this. You know, Brother Carter said, you know, I got a new weeder. I don't need this weed eater. So he's like, I brought you a weed eater. Now listen to me. Don't bring your junk up here. We don't want your stuff that don't work. That weed eater works. Sometimes people are like, you know what? Every mower we got, somebody gave to us, you know, I don't need this old mower no more. Would you guys like it? Yes. Okay. And so we're mowing grass with it. Somebody's like, oh, you know, we don't need it. Again, we don't want your junk. Don't just start bringing stuff up in here. We ain't got a lot of room for a lot of stuff. I'm just saying, sometimes people are like, this is my offering. Sometimes they're like, you know what? I got some candy I want to give to the kids or some bubble gum, or I want to bring something in here. Miss Rebecca, there's scissors out front that are free. If you got kids that are going back to school or grandkids, take some of those. She said, you know what? I don't need these. Maybe somebody at church can be, but that's an offering. She could have sold those at a yard sale, 50 cents a piece. She could have been making a killing. There's got to be 1,000 pair of scissors in there. For all you math majors, that's like $500. Now watch. God is just, he's good, isn't he? There's a reason to praise God, but who are you while you're praising God tonight? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, thank you for this evening you've given us. Lord, as we come to a time of invitation and appeal, we want to give an opportunity to all of our folks to praise you, to talk about who they are while they're praising you. We know the reasons why we praise you. And tonight, when the music begins to play, I'm going to be quiet, and you come, and you talk to the Lord. You thank him for what he's doing, what he's done, what he will do. And the rest of you tonight, maybe you're here and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Well, tonight you can come, and I'll talk to you about that if you need to be saved. If you need to be baptized, come. Make yourself a candidate tonight. If you want to join the church, you can come and join the church on Wednesday. Let's do work. Come on.